Intervju Radija Študent.
Torej, en prav lep pozdrav poslušalcem frekvence 89,3 MHz. Danes se nam v Kino Šiška obeta koncert, tako rekoč legendarne, kultne, industrijske zasedbe Frontline Assembly. In mi smo se pogovarjali v Kino Šiška pred pričujočim koncertom z Bilom Lebom, tako rekoč ustanovnim članom Frontline Assembly in tudi edinim članom, ki je v tej zasedbi vse skozi. Za začetek smo ga vprašali, če je že nemara kdaj obiskal kraje naše in povedal nam je, da je bil tu še za časa, tako rekoč, hiperinflacije, žal pa ne ve točno, kje.
I'm sure we were here like 15 years ago when you had this money and every day the value would change. It was really crazy and things were totally different. Maybe even 16, 17 years ago, but yeah. I think that's the only time we were ever here. That's when Liebach were really big, you know?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, because Slovenia has a quite long tradition of industrial music. Are you familiar with Slovenian bands like Liebach, Borgesia?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of them?
Oh yeah, well we used to like, all that. Actually, the woman who books our tour, she's Liebach's manager, mm-hmm. Sabine. So yeah, we've known them and Borghese for way back in the Wax Trax days, you know, like I said, that was at least 15 years ago, so, and that's when we came here, so.
You're now 24 years, I think, in Frontline Assembly. I mean, you are actually,
like that, probably,
you are kind of Frontline Assembly.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, more or less.
How would you consider music and the scene and also industrial change through that period? Like, in the 80s, I would say that people had this strong need for identification through music. Would you consider that? But nowadays, maybe music is more a consumptional thing. What do you think? Is industrial still has this potential of identification, or is it more?
Well, I was Reese Fulber, you know, who I worked with for life. We were kind of talking about all this not too long ago, and I guess our theory, and he really believes now that all the, you know, music is so defined now that, like, where in the 80s, if you were into metal, you would also go to an industrial show, you know, you'd go see Ministry, you know, like the whole Fear Factory, you know, we worked on their music, and there was a crossover, so when we toured on Hardwire, we had 1,000 to 1,500 people every night, but half of them were metalheads, you know, or just into electronics. Now everything's really categorized, you know, you've got your R scene, you got your metal scene, you got your DJ scene, your trance scene, you know, and nobody seems to cross, you know, they just stick to their little group. So there's more music, but the group, all the areas are smaller in that way. So it, but you know, everything's evolved too, you know, like people say, well, you know, industrial isn't what it used to be, but it can't be. Everything has to change, everything has to evolve. Kids now are all about, you know, computers, technology, you know, political views in the world, political correctness, everything's changed. So I guess for this small scene, I think it's a very small scene to keep alive, and it has to evolve and change too, you know, it can't be like test department, you know, four guys with angry sticks with burning barrels under a bridge screaming about, you know, the system, you know, I mean, I guess everything's changed, you know, but I still think there's like a core. You know, when you go to all the Gothic festivals in the summer and you see 10, 20,000 people, there's still people that are into it, you know, young people, so. I guess it's just called evolution, you know?
Yeah, but now we're talking about change.
Yes.
But considering Frontline Assembly is pretty much actually one of the rare industrial bands which keeps kind of a line, you know, inside of the music.
Right.
Of one, you know, a sound which is really through, it doesn't change much, you know, like, for example, from 242, where you have these almost dance
right.
music in the 90s. Frontline Assembly are always with these rough vocals and mm-hmm. hard sounds. You never got this need, okay, you have Delirium, but you never had this need to change the sound of Frontline Assembly in maybe such ways as...
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, Skinny Puppy's the same way. They don't really change their sound.
Yeah,
Ogre. Well, I think nowadays, you know, when you talk to record labels, it's even more important to have sort of a signature sound, because for young bands, it's almost impossible to make money and start because there's so many bands and MySpace, YouTube. So now what you see now is more the older bands starting to tour again, because they have a name brand and stuff, and people kind of know that and like that. So yeah, I think it'd be pointless. I mean, if we were going to change, I think we should just start a whole new project, you know, like, and like I said, you know, we do have Delirium with all the female singers, which is pretty different, you know, so I have that side that I can get out, you know. I still think I'd like to do a real, like, Perfect Circle kind of one acoustic album with really heavy sounds and slow and more ballads, you know, like just one whole record like that.
I noticed on the last album, the last song,
right,
it has a piano,
right,
which is quite odd for
right.
For Frontline Assembly.
I just came up with that part at the end, but I'd like to do that. I think that would be, you know, like a band like the Swans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, you know, they have that kind of. I mean, I don't know if people would like it, but for me as an artist, I still feel like that's an unfulfilled part, mm-hmm. which I'd like to do and make it even more with some guitar solos and stuff, but slow, right, and heavy, so.
More set stuff.
Yeah, so I'd still like to do that. I mean, you know, maybe that will be the end of the band. Who knows, right? But I think that could still, I think people might still be open to that, you know? It wouldn't be dance music, right?
How do the ideas for your music evolve, especially for the lyrics? You were much more, I would say, on the beginning, it would be more about techniques, maybe about the dark sides of the human being and all that mm-hmm. stuff. I noticed that now it's much more socially oriented, like you speak a lot about war and such stuff.
Right. Well, you know, like, I think this record is probably my most personable lyrics, because, you know, like, of everything we've gone through, one song, you know, Afterlife, is about the passing of my father a year ago, you know, when I met him in 2 years ago in Vienna, and then 2 months later he died, and so the song is about him, and, you know, I would never think about doing a song like that 15 years ago. We were always talking about cyberspace and, you know, like technology, but so I think this is the most personable lyrics on this one, and I kind of just didn't worry too much whether it was not exciting for people, but it meant something to me, because, you know, I think time is running out for all of us, so you need to do all these things that are important to you. So in that way, the lyrics in this one are very personable, you know, and I don't want to just talk about bullshit. I mean, so I found that way, I didn't think Frontline would be like maybe for such a personal place, because I thought Delirium was always more, you know, like not religious, but more deep in that way. But as it turned out, it worked out okay, and I got it, and it made me feel better. So, but you know, you can't do that unless you've been doing it for a while, right? So that you have something to draw from. So. That's what most of the lyrics are about in this record, you know, there's a lot of... And, you know, I don't want to take... And as far as politics go, I don't like to take sides, but I just see such incredible injustices and crazy red tape diplomas from government, and it drives me nuts, so... I just like to point them out to people, but I like the people make up their own mind. Mm-hmm. I think it's much better than beating them on the head, saying, you know, look, you have to be... I think that's boring.
Do you think nowadays music can still have this impact on society like it used to?
You know what? I don't know. I think a lot of young people don't care. They're so computerized now, you know. They have 20 seconds of attention span to listen to a song, then they're bored. They have their iTunes things, you know, they have 1,000 songs and they're one song from each artist. They don't even listen to albums anymore by artists.
I'm pretty much sure that most of the youngsters don't even know that they listen to a bunch of your music on the most legendary game, actually, that ever occurred, you know, Quake 3.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure too, you know.
How did that happen? I mean, how do you get into a computer game?
Well, that was just the people that were doing it in Texas, because Nine Inch Nails was involved in the first one. They were just fans, and the guy just sent me an email and said, "Hey, you know, you want to? We're big fans. Are you interested?" And we said, "Of course." And it just went from there. It was really simple, you know. Like sometimes the best things just come really easy, and when you really try hard, it never works. Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty aggressive game. Would you consider industrial as an aggressive
industrial music? Yeah, it should be. I think it should be challenging, you know, like I don't think you can just listen to Frontline when you just want to relax, you know. I mean, I think it should be challenging, and that's why it has a small crowd, because most people, they just want music in the background when they're working at home, typing, thinking. But I think our music demands attention, so it's just for a small group of people that are willing to always be, you know, to like that challenge, you know, when they put it on, so.
How is it, you worked with a lot of names, a lot of, you had a lot of musicians inside of Frontline Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would say developed a lot of musicians for other bands. But nowadays, you work with pretty much younger generations than you used to be. How is it to work with younger people? I mean, we talked about younger generations. And
well, it's really funny because Jeremy in the band, you know, he's 26, and I think they're the same age. They're both 26, and they said when they were, I mean, I guess they were like 4 years old when me and Reese started making songs, but they said when they were in their teens, the first stuff they ever heard was our stuff, and it just, to them, we were icons, we were these gods way up here, because they were just kids in high school, you know? So for them to come into this scene and into this band, first of all, they're really excited, but to me, you know, a good band is like a good soccer team, you know? You need young players, you need experienced players, you need everything to make a good team, and that's what, you know, this is now, because they have a lot of young ideas, a lot of enthusiasm. They always kick my ass and say, "Let's go on tour, come on." And I'm like, "I don't know, you know. I've been around the world 50 times." But they have this energy, like it's untarnished, it's a real energy. So I think together it put new life into the band, and, you know, I'm sure they want to do a few more records yet.
But how do the songs evolve? Is this just your outer work, or is it...
No, you know what? This record really was all four of us. Me, well, I guess Chris Peterson isn't here, you know, but I've worked with him for a long time, too.
Yeah, I know.
We would go to each other's house, and everybody has their own studio, and we would come up with ideas, and then we would all get together, and we would share those ideas and put them up, and then we'd work on that. And so it was a real... The first record were equal ideas from everybody involved, except for the lyrics, of course, but which before it would either be just me or Chris or me and Reese.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. It was like a real band thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So your European tour is kind of getting to an end.
It's what?
It's getting to its,
right,
to its end. How would you say, how, in your viewpoint, how is the scene nowadays? Is it...
Well, you know, it's sporadic. I mean, there's always a few bands that are like flavor of the month, you know, that everybody wants to see. And then you've got your bands, you know, historical value bands.
What would you consider Frontline Assembly as?
Well, I think we're more of a historical band. You know, ironically enough, when we played the Belgian Gothic Festival, the two headlining bands were us and Skinny Puppy, and, you know, for 2 days there was all these young gothic bands and stuff and blah blah blah, but then in the end when we showed up, everybody showed up, and it was kind of a cool feeling still, like that people respect that, and even, and you know, there was a lot of young people that they get the history of it. And
do you still do old stuff, like, I don't know?
Oh yeah.
Do you play Biomechanics?
Yeah, that's one of our outros. I mean, one of our
it's like an anthem or something of the
band. So you know it. Yeah, I still think, like, you know, I think all the bands, like, and then of course you got bands like, you know, like Nine Inch Nails, who became huge, but you know, Trent always said in his interviews, Skinny Puppy was one of his biggest influences. He used to open for us, Skinny Puppy, when he was just two guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And then obviously, and then now he plays big stadiums, right?
Why do you think that Frontline Assembly never got onto such a level like Nine Inch Nails?
I mean, Puppy didn't either, you know, anymore. You know, we're doing the same. I think it's just because we don't have the crossover appeal of the rock side of it. You know, where Trent was able to get all the rock and roll people involved. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you doing with my mic? Hey, give it here. I actually tell them the bus.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be in the sack if we're like, yeah. Okay, all right.
You don't like your gear to be touched?
Oh, I'm just bugging. We just play little games all day. Like, he was hoping it wasn't on the bus, so he had to go outside, right? Anyways, so yeah, I just think, you know, the best way to look at it is, you know, like, just because, you know, when you go to McDonald's restaurant, this company has sold more hamburgers in the world than everybody, right? And then there's other restaurants that make that don't nearly sell as much, but are also established, they're smaller, and they have a way higher quality, and the food's actually good for you. And I think that's how we are, you know, like, just because somebody sells more doesn't necessarily mean it's better, you know? And, you know, crowds can just, they flock to whatever's trendy, whatever their friends are listening to, but like I said, I think our music and Puppies, you know, it just evokes more thought, and it's not for everybody, you know? It's, but I think we like it that way. I think if we would have, I don't think we were destined to be this big rock band, you know?
So for our listeners, especially for younger listeners, mm-hmm. who maybe don't know, what can we expect from the today's show?
Well, I mean, you know, it's really hard to put it into a sentence, you know. I mean, it's like, yeah, if people that have, like in Hungary last night, the show was a sellout and people were like crazy. I mean, that's the irony. Last night it was totally sold out. The shows in Sweden were sold out, and you come to Ljubljana, and maybe tonight is not going to be so many people. So people that know the band, you know, they know the history, they can sort of, you know, there's more to it than just watching a band play. You know, if you know the band, how long they've been for, what they represent, you know, what they're playing, then it has more significance. So, but I think for, I guess, young people, I mean, it's a pretty live band, and we rock pretty hard, and I don't know, you either like it or you don't, you know?
Future plans, is this now the band members, is this mm-hmm. now a lineup which will last for a little bit longer then?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Chris wants to, like, come back and tour in America mm-hmm. and stuff, and then we'll have five people, and, you know, me and Reese always talk, and, you know, we're just in the middle of making a new Delirium album for next year, so it's always something, you know. I mean, I'm sure Frontline's not going to ever get bigger or anything, but I think, you know, if it all ended tomorrow, I think we've made our point. You know, we did what we kind of wanted to do, and
then
that's
again,
really all you can ask for, right?
And then again, you assembled a lot of people for other bands.
Of course, you know, like, so yeah, you know, I think, you know, I mean, Tactical Neural, 2 years ago in the British press, was named the sixth most important electronic album to be ever made. I mean, to me, that's enough, period. I can go home now. What else do you want? You know, I mean, that to me makes a statement beyond all other statements, you know. And with Delirium, you know, we've had like 6 gold records, and we have, you know, Fear Factory reproduced, went gold in America, you know, I mean, we've done so much stuff, you know, it's hard to encapsulate it all in this band, but out of this band grew a lot of stuff, you know, so it's interesting in that way.
Sure, you had great impact. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, no worries.
And I hope that you will have a great gig tonight, and especially
well, we'll play for whoever's here, you know, I mean, I know there's a history here, and I'm not so sure if we just, because we haven't been here so long, whether it's the lack of that or whatever it is, but, you know, maybe next time, right? But it's such a great venue, you know?
I'm pretty much sure it's gonna rock.
Maybe we should have played in some bunker somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Ljubljana, on the outskirts, and some old
airport. Oh, we have a lot of such places,
yeah,
but I think that this one will be pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
To je bil torej intervju z Bill Lebom iz Frontline Assembly. Seveda pa ste vsi vabljeni, da se danes udeležite koncerta, tako rekoč industrijski koncert leta bi človek lahko dejal, v Kino Šiška zvečer pred skupina Mind in a Box. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.